Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the U.S. Supreme Court will allow Lisa Cook to remain as Federal Reserve Governor. Longtime Atlanta Braves manager Brian Snitker will not return to the dugout next season. And how will the federal government shutdown affect Georgia's economy?
You know, if we get to be more than a month, a couple of months down the road, and 2.25 million federal employees are not getting paid, this is a very serious effect on the economy.
Today is Wednesday, October 1st. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. The U.S. was plunged into its first government shutdown in nearly 7 years today, and it could be a long one, with potential impacts to an already rattled American economy. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are furloughed and sent home without pay until Congress resumes funding. The Georgia Department of Labor says there are about 111,000 federal workers in Georgia. Earlier today, I spoke with Ray Hill, Associate Professor of Finance at Emory University's Goizueta School of Business, about the shutdown's possible effects on the economy.
In the past, this has been a political event, not an economic event. All right, so we've had shutdowns. People missed maybe one paycheck. It was there eventually, those paychecks were made up, maybe two, but not much more than that. And so the economic consequences were quite small because politicians seem to be aware that this could be devastating, and somebody caves pretty early on. If I'm looking at this situation, the thing that strikes me the most about it is that we have a president who seems to be very comfortable with economic uncertainty, and he's already trying to reduce the federal workforce. So we're in a situation where at least we have one side that is going to be, as far as I can see, I'm straying into politics now, but a lot more resolute than in the past. And so to my mind, this has a potential for going on for quite some time. You know, if we get to be more than a month, a couple of months down the road, and, you know, 2.25 million federal employees are not getting paid and some contractors are not getting paid, well, then this is a very serious effect on the economy, given the scale of those expenditures.
Consumer confidence. Could this rattle not only consumers, but also businesses? This is coming on top of tariffs. This is coming on top of all the chaos that's been going on. Could this further introduce more uncertainty and lack of confidence in our basic system of economy?
The most recent surveys show declining consumer confidence already, before we even get into this. And so, sure, I wouldn't even say it's declining confidence. If I've got a couple of million people who don't have paychecks, whether they're confident or not, they're not going to be spending the money. So, you know, this the ripple effect is going to be, if it lasts, is going to be quite severe. If we follow the historical norms and somebody caves within the next couple of weeks, then I think we'll look back and see it as a political show and we won't worry about it. But that may not happen this time.
I've gotten a question from one of my colleagues about economic reports, because apparently the Bureau of Labor Statistics and maybe USDA, the government issues so many reports. But if these reports aren't coming, could that also have an effect on the economy?
Normally, I'd say yes. Again, caution that if it goes on, nobody is going to miss 2 weeks of government reports, okay? I don't think they will. Somebody will. Some economists trying to do research is. But the rest of the world is not going to miss that. You know, if we get into, again, beyond a month, then it becomes more serious. The curious thing to me is that Wall Street doesn't seem to have any reaction to this at all. If you look at the market, it's doing quite well and went up yesterday, and you would think that it's precisely Wall Street who would be the most deterred by having not access to reports on how the economy is doing. But for some reason, the Wall Street doesn't seem to mind that. I don't know why.
Let's go to another impact that could happen, and that is airports and travel. The last shutdown we had was really ended by TSA, because all those TSA workers didn't show up for work, and then travel started getting chaos. Can you talk about the effects on that?
TSA workers are usually deemed essential, so they're required to come to work even though they don't get paid. But, you know, at some point, TSA worker and say, well, I'm going to go work somewhere else, or I'm not going to show up for work, and it's hard to make people do that. So I think, again, that's one of the couple of weeks down the pike, a month down the pike effect that we might see. I have a really nice trip I've been planning for a year at the end of the month, and I am paying much close attention to it, and it's exactly about the time when you might see the cracks begin to appear in trying to keep essential workers there, and then you'd really have a disruption in air travel, but again, I think that's a month away if it happens.
That was Ray Hill, Associate Professor of Finance at Emory University's Goizueta School of Business. There's still some confusion about what parts of the National Park Service will or won't be closed in the shutdown. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
In their government shutdown plan, the National Park Service says their roads and trails should generally remain open. That's not true for the 6 miles of trail at the Okmulgee Mounds National Historical Park, a 1,000-year-old town site still important to the Muscogee Nation of Oklahoma. That shocked Penny Borgum. She makes a 100-mile round trip daily to bring her elderly mother, Elaine, here, a habit Elaine enjoyed for 30 years with her husband before he died.
This is her enjoyment. And our tax dollars and stuff pays for all this, helps pay for this. So this is just unbelievable.
Social media posts by the Park Service promise updates. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
The U.S. Supreme Court will allow Lisa Cook to remain as a Federal Reserve governor for now. In a brief unsigned order today, the High Court declined to act on the Trump administration's effort to immediately remove the Georgia native from the Fed board. The justices will hear arguments in January over President Donald Trump's efforts to force her out of the central bank. Trump has accused Cook of mortgage fraud because she appeared to claim two properties in Michigan and Georgia as primary residences in 2021 before she joined the Fed board. Cook has denied any wrongdoing and has not been charged with a crime. She hails from Milledgeville in Middle Georgia with strong family connections to Baldwin County and Georgia College and State University. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens has announced a $5 billion reinvestment plan for South and West Atlanta communities. Tax Allocation Districts, or TADs, will fund major projects in the often neglected areas to support public safety, affordable housing, and dependable government services. Nearly $2 billion will focus on expanding transit networks, $1.5 billion on trails and green spaces, and about $1.3 billion on affordable housing projects. Atlanta Braves manager Brian Snitker will not return to the dugout next season. The Braves announced today that the 69-year-old Snitker will move to an advisory role. Snitker has been with the organization for nearly 50 years as a longtime minor league manager, major league coach, and finally, major league manager. In his 10 seasons as manager, he led the Braves to 811 wins, 6 NL East Division titles, and his career highlight, the 2021 World Series Championship. The Braves said he'll be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame next year. Snitker was at times emotional during a news conference announcing the move. He said it was his joy to, quote, be around a group of guys that makes this so special. Statistics show that nearly 500,000 children in Georgia struggle with food insecurity. This comes as the federal government has decided it no longer will provide data tracking hunger in the U.S. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
For more than 30 years, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Household Food Security Report has helped people understand community needs when it comes to hunger. Kelsey Silvio is the senior policy analyst at Voices for Georgia's Children. She says ending the report risks leaving children, families, and communities at risk.
Georgia decision makers really like to hear from their community, and so if we don't have numbers coming from the feds that have already analyzed that. We're going to have to really be intentional about our nutrition and anti-hunger partners, making sure we have that voice heard.
In addition, Congress recently passed a tax bill that includes the largest cuts to food stamps in the nation's history. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Gulfstream Aerospace has announced the latest aircraft to join its fleet. The jet manufacturer, Savannah's largest private employer, says its new super midsize G300 will replace the G280. Company President Mark Burns unveiled a full-scale mock-up and photos of the new aircraft in production at the announcement yesterday.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the U.S. Postal Service has released a commemorative forever stamp honoring the late former President Jimmy Carter. Stamp collectors from around the country and hundreds of locals celebrated the stamp issue at the Carter Center in Atlanta today. The president's grandson and the Carter Center's board chair, Jason Carter, spoke on what would have been the president's 101st birthday.
He's got a forever stamp. We think of him as Jimmy Carter forever, you know, and this Carter Center is filled still with his spirit in a very current way. And so it's a great way to celebrate his birthday.
Stamps are now available for purchase at local post offices. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. We have more on many of these stories at our webpage, gpb.org/news. We invite you to hit subscribe on this podcast. Do that right now to help you keep us current in your feed. We welcome feedback, comments, suggestions, and story ideas. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.